Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
Mind, or you can inbox me or tweet me at RC44 to get your Valentine's Day specials and packages, so that way 2015 you can start it off right. And right now we're talking about Hollywood, we're talking about the Hollywood Shuffle, all the different events that are going on. A lot of people right now are watching the Golden Globes, and as you probably just seen, that Selma did not win. Actually, Boyhood won Best Drama, and you know, even though this was a very difficult and difficult category, and also a very strong movie, there's a lot of different things that you see when you look up on the stage at the Golden Globes. So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to bring in actually a longtime contributor to the Vice TV show. This is his first time on the air with me, coming representing Indiana, but is not a fan of the Colts. We have Jerome Johnson on the air right now. JJ, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. So I just want to get, introduce you and get into the particular theme of the show, Hollywood Shuffle. And as you've seen, 2015 already started off with a lot of different things going on in Hollywood. So first, I want to get your take on the, get your take on the Sony hacking. Some people think it was a plan by North Korea, as you saw the jokes tonight on the Golden Globe. Some people thought it was just a plot to really sell a bad movie. So what do you think your take is on this?
The hacking, everything is done for a reason. To some of the less fortunate people will know what the reason is. But at this point, you know, it could be North Korea. That's not my plot. I don't think North Korea really cares about Sony as much as to have them hack and release them to damaging context. But at the end of the day, it could just be Sony saying they got hacked and releasing information just to be out there and hear. You know, once you get your name out anywhere, you get the publicity, good or bad publicity. Once people talking about you, they want to see what you're talking about. You know, the hack about Denzel and the Equalizer, you know, they're trying to get it's a good movie. I've seen it. I like it. But once, you know, they didn't sell as they thought it could sell, they just wanted to get it out there so people could see what they're talking about.
Right, you know, exactly. And the thing is, when you look at the different things that that came out with these hacks, how they were talking about Obama and thinking the type of movies that he watches are only black movies, or how they basically said on these hacks that black movies don't sell properly. So do you think that, you know, that this could have been from a disgruntled employee or something to that effect to kind of shine light on some of the things that are really going on behind the scenes in Hollywood?
I mean, it could have been disgruntled employee, but, like, we all know black movies are not big blockbuster movies. We knew that from the go. Tyler Perry has problems getting his movies to just play in theaters. you know, even go a little down, Russ Parr, you know, Michael Bay's, then their movies don't get to blockbusters or get into theaters at all. So, you know, at this point, it could be anything. They could be trying to trump up anything to get this. Like I said, it's the publicity part of the information. You know, they even spoke up Kevin Hart. You know, Kevin Hart is in every movie you turn around looking to. You know, it could be a part just to get his name in more, you know, get them to watch more of his movies. And, you know, he has, you know, not an all-black cast in most of his movies, but, you know, he's the headliner in most of the movies Kevin Hart does right now. He's the big name. He's the headliner. What they call him, basically a media whore. Like, it's true,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
Nothing came in the nothing in the hacks that came out was new information to any of us. Like, you know.
True.
So what really came out in the hacks besides somebody heard it say that what everybody already talks about?
That's true. The elephant in the room was just put out there. You know, just like, okay, yeah, there it is. So now you look at that and. And now you got somebody like, you know, the iconic roles, like James Bond. And you think, okay, James Bond's always been played by, you know, a Scottishman or something like that, you know, the Pierce Brosnans, John Connery, Roger Moore. But now the thought of Idris Elba playing James Bond, and then you have somebody like Rush Limbaugh saying that, you know, James Bond can't be played by a black man, you know, it just really, you know, just shows some of the things that go on that we know, but we just don't hear it directly from the president of a major movie company.
You're right. Well, like I said, they 50, 60 years ago, they didn't think we could play baseball in Major League. Eventually, those walls break down. 007 is that iconic movie that you once you get in that James Bond realm. It's you get movie after movie after movie after movie. That movie is 60 years old, replayed, done up. And all they do is remake old movies. So now you got to tell them their dream is shot by putting in a black actor who is, you know, if any chance now, he was the perfect candidate to get a black James Bond. And anytime they get the perfect candidate to replace what they know of, they get afraid. That's just how it goes. You know, when Obama ran for president, we finally had the perfect-ish time to get a black president in there, and they was afraid of that. So now we got the perfect time to break some of their iconic roles, and our people play them. James Bond is he has the British accent because he's from overseas. He's not an American actor trying to play James Bond. He's actually in the role, like he was that perfect icon. To do the
007. Okay, that's true there, man. That, you know, I think he could do a really strong job playing James Bond, playing 007, and just really put a different take on what we view in that particular role.
Yeah, I agree. And they scared of the success it may have. But like I said, they all go back to them thinking, well, you know, black people are not big blockbuster bringers. But I think if we transcend into that, then they have nothing else to say. They have to put more Tyler Perry movies in theaters and Russ Parr movies in theaters. It's the enigma and the fear of success. The last couple James Bonds ain't as big as the older James Bonds. And so I think if they want to do it, they need to do it now anyway. Because it might not be enough Idris Elba to do it, you know.
And that's a really good point right there.
Forever.
You listen, yeah. I tell you, when you listen to the certain things that they say, it's just, you know, you really see that they may have wanted to do that. They might consider that, and now with the hack, it might be a prime opportunity for them to do it. To say, hey, look, see, we're trying to make changes. So that's definitely something that, you know, we need to consider as well. And this is Rod's TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. I got longtime contributor to the show, Jerome Johnson, on the air right now. We're talking about Hollywood Shuffle. We're talking about movies. We're talking about different aspects of the movies. And when Jerome was talking about an iconic role, let's transition into a role that that you know that iconic role as well, Martin Luther King. Playing Dr. Martin Luther King is a very challenging role and a very difficult role, and we had David Oyelowo playing that with the movie Selma. And I want, and Jerome did see Selma over the weekend, so I want to hear your thoughts on this movie. Is it worth watching? Do you feel that there's a lot of accuracies to it? Is it something that everybody should go out to see?
Well, and first, I want to say it was a great movie. Everybody must see. I feel like every person should at least take their kids, grandkids, to go see it. Anybody of a voting age and is African American need to see this movie. It puts a different perspective on it. And so from there, I'd like to say the accuracy of the movie, it's a movie at the end of the day. I know when this movie came out, they was like the accuracy of the movie. They try to deteriorate it, you know, saying, you know, Martin Luther King and Lyndon B. Johnson relationship wasn't that way, or they picked certain parts. Let me just break down that the Lyndon B. Johnson and the Martin Luther King relationship. But anyway, with every movie, you got to build the drama. So the accuracy issues are built for drama. It's a movie at the end of the day. It's entertainment. I don't recall them breaking down of the Titanic when they say it's based on the true story. They didn't say, oh, this really didn't happen, or this is not how they died. They didn't do that. They watched the movie, said it was a great movie, and it won what it won, and it did it. It's like
exactly.
Every time we have a great movie.
That's a look at it.
And, you know, at the end of the day, they say, yeah, the story was made up, but it was actual events that happened around it. Nobody broke down how authentic what they wrote and put in there was. Because at the end of the day, movies do take a little bit, most of the truth, it's based on the true story, not based on all actual events. They don't spread it for drama, like such as the scene where Jimmy Lee Jackson, you know, technically he died a week later in the hospital, not in his mother's arms, but that built dramatic interest for the movie. One of the big parts that they stretched, it was just the dramatic part of the movie that made the movie go along a little more.
Oh, yeah, exactly. What you're doing, yes. You're taking a historical event and squeezing it in a two-hour block. So, of course, you can't take what may have took a course of several weeks to really progress from the time he went to the White House to talk to LBJ to the time to organize the march, the time in the jail, and then and also on the Pettus Bridge. You can't do all that in 2 hours and not, you know, keep it with, you know, within a dramatic license as well. So that's the thing.
Right.
You got to look at this movie in an open standard, with an open mind, knowing that, okay, some of this stuff might not have actually happened verbatim.
As it was. They try to knock, again, the relationship between Lyndon B. Johnson and Martin Luther King, saying, you know, they have a recorded conversation of them, you know, having a better round of communication. But they didn't show every time they communicated in the movie. They didn't portray them as just having a tumultuous conversation. They just showed when it was a needed, aggressive conversation. They didn't put the probably 100 times they talked on the phone or anything else in there. They picked the dramatic ones to make the movie flow. So, like I said, the portrayal of it is what it is. And, you know, people need to be just a little less sensitive when it comes to black movies, you know. Like I said, the time it didn't come down to scrutiny. You know, it's other movies I know that definitely did come down to scrutiny.
Right, exactly. You think of, especially when you talk about political movies like Nixon and JFK and all those movies where they've always said that there might have been some inaccuracies, but you don't see the attack on those movies when it comes down to the inaccuracies of Nixon and JFK compared to right now when it comes to the movie Selma. And just listening to, you know, how you're reviewing it, listening to what I've seen, I haven't heard anyone that has complained or said that this movie was not worth watching. So definitely we want to support this movie. We want to go out there and make sure that we look at this movie with, you know, with open mind and also in a way that shows that we are supporting in solidarity for a black woman director, especially doing a movie. And, you know, I respect Oprah and Harper Productions for getting that movie out there as well. And this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. Jerome Johnson on here. We're talking about Hollywood Shuffle. We're talking about the different things that are going on in Hollywood now. It's reflecting on our community as well. Talking about the, you know, just watching the Golden Globes and look at movies and television. And like you were saying, like Russ Parr, Michael Bates, and all these different guys are trying to direct movies and trying to get the roles and the parts out there. But it just doesn't seem like Hollywood wants to support African-American directed or African-American-based shows. And it was reflected when you look at the kind of whitewashing of how the Golden Globes were tonight. So do you feel that the, like, Shonda Rhimes, and do you feel that directors that are coming up like that are breaking down those barriers on television, or do you still feel that TV is not accurately reflecting the African-American community in particular, but people of color in general?
This is for big success. This is what I'm going to say. Like, I feel like Shonda Rhimes is doing her thing. I know I'm on the TGIT every Thursday when it's going down. I can't wait till the 29th right now. But at the end of the day, they do what they need to do. Shonda Rhimes is breaking the directing field down on TV. They are opening the roads. We've always been big behind-the-scenes people. We do a lot of stuff like that. Shonda Rhimes is putting herself on the forefront of a lot of things and a lot of issues. But as a support thing, we first got to start out by supporting ourselves. If we don't support ourselves, like, go see Selma in the theaters. Don't find the local bootleg guy and pay $5 to get the movie, because that doesn't support them. That's why they think movies don't do well. Because, yes, we sell 2 billion copies on the corner off the bootleg guy, but we can't go spend $2 billion in the movie theaters. When we start spending the money in the movie theaters, we show our power, because that's what they don't see. Like, we all talk about the movie Selma right now because everybody got it, but nobody's in the theater seeing it. So anytime we got a movie to go support that's worth supporting, we got to go support it. We got to put our money where our mouth is. Don't spend it to try to be cheap or have it at home. You know, just go to the theaters and support it. When your black TV shows come on, I watch Blackish on Wednesdays on ABC at 10 o'clock. You got to watch those so people know you're tuning in. I don't even do it on DVR. I try to watch it live so they know I'm watching it. You know, so movies and TV shows, we got to support them at the base of it. And, you know, at least give it a try. If you don't feel it, that's perfectly fine. You have your own way not to feel it if you don't want to watch that show. But, you know, we tune in for, you know, the more ratchet reality that they call it. You know, we watch the Housewives of Atlanta and the Love and Hip Hop. They'll watch that, tune into that buffoonery, I feel like, before they do stuff that's more wholesome and for our whole culture that describes us more than that. You know,
That's a very good point right there. I mean, that's the thing. We go 4 million, 5 million, 6 million deep watching ratchet reality. You know, Love and Hip Hop, you know, is huge. Real Housewives are huge shows. But when it comes down to shows that are showing African Americans, especially in a positive light, like Blackish, like, you know, like the Shonda Rhimes roles, where we see strong, powerful African American women that are doing a variety of different things. And, you know, even, you know, State of Affairs with where you have Alfre Woodard playing a president. You know, shows like that, you know, we're not supporting them, but we'd rather see what's going on basketball-wise or Love and Hip Hop. And that's all well and good if you're into ratchet, but you still got to, if we don't have scripted shows, then we got a lot of actors that are talented, that are strong and out there that's not going to get work, because we complain about, I can't find another Cosby Show on the air. We can't find another Cosby Show because we're not watching network television and not supporting when those shows come on, like a Blackish.
Yep. So, yeah, I agree. Like, that's my point. Like, we got to support all realms of it. And we got, and it's on, it's not even like it's on cable TV. You can get ABC is a local channel, CBS is local channels. You can tune into that without even, so us saying we don't have cable, Buzzing, Swoop, or whatever, you know. We got to show that we can put up numbers everywhere, every round, instead of Ratchet Reality or, you know, just like I said, we got to stop the bootlegging. We got to just go see six things in the movie theater. I read a stat the other day. Denzel is the last of his kind. He's a dying breed. He's the only actor who doesn't have, like, sequels to movies. Denzel has not one sequel in a major headline movie. And I found that amazing that his career has gone that long with not even a sequel.
So that is crazy. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, when you come to think about it, yeah, Denzel Washington has never played in a sequel. And that is something that's strong. He goes from movie to movie, scene to scene. You're not going to see another Equalizer, you know, in any case, probably. You know, he's going to try to move on and try to develop and grow into certain things. And that's a really good thing, because a lot of times what these movie companies try to do, they see, oh, this took off really well, so let's make another one of these here. You know, Ride Along 2 coming out. They've been trying to get another fourth Rush Hour for decades, another Friday coming along. They feel that once we go to a well, then every black movie especially has to be in that same realm of show. You know, so when Friday hit big, every movie had to look like Friday. So when Boys in the Hood hit big back in the day, every movie had to be a Boys in the Hood. And if it wasn't, then they'll try to force it into it. And that pigeonholes a lot of actors that we have. They don't feel that we can do a diversity of roles. I mean, you look at top white actors like Meryl Streep or all these other actresses that are actors out there. They can play a variety of roles and nobody would look at them differently. But if somebody in our community goes out and they play one role and then they might play a comedy afterwards, then we look at them like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why is he selling out like that doing a comedy when he's a serious actor? It's like it's all or nothing, it seems like, when it comes down to the way the movies are made and when it comes down to how we look at our actors as well.
It is. Like basically, I'm going to use the word stereotype, but that's the only word I can come up with right now. They stereotype us in certain type of roles. A good actor who's been an actor for a long time, you know, it's Ice Cube. Ice Cube started with Boys in the Hood, like you mentioned earlier. He was a hard, serious actor in that movie, and then likely and slowly but surely has turned into a comedian-type actor. You know, with the Barbershop series, the Ride Along series, like you said, they're working on a number two, a Ride Along. He had the Fridays, all about the Benjamins. He's playing the buddy cop or the buddy comedy type roles. He hasn't been in a serious role. You know, I want to say maybe XXX, maybe. That was the most serious, but it was still like a buddy cop saga to me. I think we need, as actors, as black actresses and actresses, they get to stay away from these realms where they get themselves into there. You know, just like a good example, like the late Robin Williams. You know, he was a comedian, but he has a long list of serious roles in his movies. Yes, sometimes they didn't do as well in the box office that made him go back to his comedies. But every couple so years, you'll get him in there with a serious role. And even if that's what you don't do, we need to get out there and veer off. For a prime example, I remember maybe a while ago, Morris Chestnut said he didn't want to do any more black movies. You know, he didn't want to be known as that type of actor. And slowly but surely, when it came down to it, he slowly and surely came back. Because, you know, we don't really support when they get out their realm. And we need to support them in their realm or in the realm we like to see them. I think it was after The Brothers or one of those movies, and, you know, he did a slew of, like, being the second cast character in a movie like Anaconda, The Cave, mm-hmm. stuff like that, I believe. And, you know, he just didn't do well. Look, now we got another big hit with
Best Man.
The Best Man series, and, you know, they coming out with a sequel to the best man wedding now. You know, they're coming out with that in 2016, I believe. So, again, that's the sequels and playing the same roles. We just got to get out and support people in whatever they in all their endeavors. You know, you see
and
the same.
We kind of lose track and lose focus on that, saying like, hey, you know, we just want, you know, just want somebody like Morris Chestnut to play the best man role, the brother's role. But you know, we got to make sure that even when they're not playing in a with a predominantly black cast, that we still, if we don't support them and they're in a leading role, like when Tyler Perry went off the, you know, the Madea round, and he played Alex Ross there. Alex Cross, yeah, and when he played Alex Cross, and people, we didn't go out to support because it wasn't a Madea movie.
Madea,
you know,
his typical role.
Right.
Yep.
And
so, that's another
that
good example. Yep, and, you know, I think he has another little movie coming out, I want to say, don't hold me to that one. That's not a Madea movie.
Yeah, he was in Gone Girl with Ben Affleck, you know, and things, you know, little roles like that, you know, make a big difference in showing his diversity.
Right. So, I think Hollywood is not really the problem. It's us not supporting the actors we have in Hollywood. They know it. They see it. They think we don't come out and support. It's like everything else. When we gotta get out and vote, we gotta get out and vote. When we want our actors to succeed, we gotta get out there and go watch the movies. We gotta go see them in the theater, not just watch them or buy them from the guy down the street. Because everybody knows the movie, sees the movie. I'll talk to probably about 20 people today who've seen Selma but didn't go see Selma. It's, you know, that's what you gotta do, is get out. It's a game. If you want more movies like that and more movies for us, we need to go support them in the theaters when we get the chance.
And that's the big takeaway from this show here, Rod's TV show. And what my closing thoughts on this here, we got a couple minutes left, and my closing thoughts are just pretty much piggybacking on what Jerome just said. Only way we're going to change the way that people see us on television, the way that our movies are depicted on screen, is to go out and support it. Yes, we know the tickets are expensive, $9, $10, $11. It costs, you know, a family of four can cost $40 to $50 to watch a movie. But in a movie that is important, in a movie that has a merit like a movie like Selma, then we have to go out there and we have to show people that it is worth making this movie. It took four different directors before Selma was even seen, and that came by chance. A whole lot of people backed out of it because they wasn't getting any funding from it. So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we get support. We support these directors that are trying to make powerful movies. So that way, we can see more of us in a variety of different roles on the big screen and on television. So go out there, support these movies, support these TV shows. So that way, we can create that diversity. And once again, I want to thank Jerome Johnson for joining me on this. And hopefully, we can do this again. And would like to have you come back on a couple more episodes and just get some insight from a different perspective as well. So I definitely appreciate it. Anything you want to say before we close out?
I appreciate the opportunity, and you know, just like they said, go support our local artists locally and in big mainstream Hollywood. You know, a couple years ago we had that instance where The golden boy, George Lucas, had to fund his whole movie for Red Tails because they said it wouldn't sell, and he funded the movie out of his own money to get it done because he felt so strongly about it. So, you know, just that's the key in Hollywood, that they don't think we'll show out. When we show up and show out, we keep getting the movies you want to get to see.
And that's the word right there. So show up, show out, and let's do this. So once again, I want to thank Jerome Johnson for joining us. Thank you for joining us each and every Sunday, each for 30 minutes at a time. It's available on podcast. So please, you know, just support us. We got Love Talk tomorrow, talking about Into the Groove, basically talking about relationships and talking about how a lot of people get caught in a rut when it comes to relationships. So definitely listen into Love Talk tomorrow. thank you once again for listening to the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment, and until next time, we'll talk.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge.